American people. Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And once again, want to welcome 4MW up there at Torres Straits. Simon, thank you very much for joining us in our yarns and our conversation. And don't forget, you can too, you as well, can add to the conversation. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Well, Queensland state election, just around the corner. It's heating up. And look, we had a yarn with the Labor member, which is the member of Cairns, sitting at the moment. That's Michael Healy. And we're now going to catch up a yarn with another candidate, and that is Shane Cuthbert, and got him in the studio with me. Shane, a very good morning. How are you?
Brother, thanks for having me here.
Brother, good to see you. Now, you're running as an independent, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Thank you. So for our listeners out there, who's Shane Cuthbert?
Oh, look, geez. A member of the community trying to do some good things, you know. Yes. Passionate about a lot of the big issues, you know, housing, youth crime, crime generally, all things that I've lived and breathed.
Okay.
As you know, I was a young kid getting up to no good, getting into trouble, went through a lot of the systems. I've now come through the other side, got a law degree, spent three nights a week working with some of the most disadvantaged at-risk youth in Cairns, trying to steer them on the right path.
Sure.
And keep them out of, you know, we don't want to see them in people's houses. We don't want to see people in people's cars, but we don't want to see them in prison either.
Sure.
You know, we want to see them get the support that they need. So, mate, that's me. A little bit of lived experience that's come through the other side. You know, didn't have an easy upbringing, but I've come through that and I think I'm better for it. And trying to do what I can for change.
Well, we've all got a past. Don't mean we have to live there.
Yes.
And understand that tomorrow and the future is a clean slate.
Yep.
Design your life as you see fit. But I always say it's not what happens to you in your life, it's how you respond to it. So here, I've turned the pages.
Yep.
You went through crime, you went through the system as you just made aware.
Yep.
Here you are on the other side, coming out of it,
yep.
Got your law degree.
Yep.
So about getting on the straight and narrow, like I said, focus on going forward. Jet aeroplane don't have revision mirrors. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Focus on where you're going. But then you would have a bit of experience regarding what these young ones are going through and the mischief they're getting up to.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, not all the youth, I will say, are not indigenous. Will say that.
Yeah, yep.
And
yep.
Not all the youth crime, they're not... We're coming from a bad start. Some of them don't even have a start. We've got the starting line here.
Yes.
But they're well underneath that even, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And regarding education, regarding the family, regarding love, regarding abuse and all facets, you know? So what would be the answer for helping these kids then? Or, you know, like the law's got to change if that's the case.
Yeah.
But we don't want to put 10-year-olds in jail.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of our First Nation people, especially elders, are not all for detention centres and prison. So talk to me.
Look, we've got a young person. He's 11. He's been exchanged drugs for – he's being sexually abused. And he's one of the most criminalised children in Cairns. Someone that we work with, and I tell you, he's had a rough trot. He's gone through all of those things you mentioned, you know, the trauma, being taken away from his parents at a young age. And that's what we're seeing. It's no surprise that he's out there committing crime, but they need more support.
Sure.
And it is complicated, as in, there's no one answer. We need better education. We need better support. We need better mental health support. We need better hospital support. We need better parenting support. You know, a lot of the kids I work with, they're in the resi care system. They've been taken away from their families.
Yep.
That's traumatic. Mm. You know, we know this now. There's plenty of adults around that, you know, this stuff happened and it's causes this great distress in our life, and it's tough for us to deal with. So my big thing, I'm advocating for the support first, the mental health support.
Yes.
Who's there? Our systems are not rehabilitative. They're punitive. You know, our probation and parole, our youth justice, they get a kid that fails to attend his appointment, so they issue a warrant for their arrest. They're getting criminalised. They're getting arrested again. Mm. They're being locked up again.
And adding to the sheet, so to
exactly.
speak.
Exactly. Why are we not going out there to find the child?
Yeah.
They're hungry.
Engage.
Feed them.
Yep, sure.
Take them to school.
Mm-hmm.
Take them to the psychologist, mental health appointments, to the hospital. Get diagnosed. Address the issues.
Well, across the board, and we're talking about the old phrase, it takes a village to raise a child.
Exactly.
So we're all in this together.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people look at that individual making the crime, whatever, don't care how old he is, don't care what colour he is, chuck him in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then becomes a revolving door for the rest of his life, does it not?
You know, and we see, I've been on pre-poll the last couple of days, and there's a couple of people that are hurting, that have been victims of crime, and they say, oh, look, we need to get rid of all the judges, you know, because they're not locking these kids up. But, you know, me, as someone with a law degree now, that spends a lot of time in the courthouse, I know that what's in front of those magistrates and judges is a lot of that trauma, a lot of the things the children are going through.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in the legal profession specifically, the judges are the best of us. You know, they're the best lawyers and they've been around for a long time. They've got a lot of experience. I trust them. You know, I think they know what they're doing.
Mm.
But, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that we need to do. And I think we need to get back to rehabilitation, not punishment, punitive.
Mm. Sure. And I'm talking about the input as well. You are what you are, but what goes in your mind, people associated in books that you read.
Yeah.
So what has been going in these young kids' mind hasn't been a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So my simple way of looking at life, change the input, change the output.
Exactly.
So we need, love, respect, vision, look up. What does your future look like?
Right.
What do you want to be? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's help you get there, you know?
Yeah.
And success breeds success. High tide rises all ships. And
there's
all the affirmations, but we need actions behind it. I mean, well done is better than well said, yeah?
Yes. That's it.
A bit of action. So when you're talking about law, studying law, what did you study in law?
So I studied everything. So to get your law degree, you do your 11 priestly subjects, and that's everything from criminal law to property law, conveyancing, all types of law. I'm doing my practical legal training now, finish that in January, and then I can apply to become a lawyer in the Supreme Court. And I think I'd like to focus that...
Yeah, what's your major? What was your major on?
Criminal law.
Criminal law.
You know, that's my background.
Sure.
I've been on that other side, been through that.
Yes.
But human rights stuff as well. You know, I'm very passionate about supporting people that need help.
Well, if you look at not only in this country, but across the globe, lawyers we have who were past criminals.
Yeah.
And been there, done that.
Yeah.
Both side defence, they can now drive the vehicle into the future and helping individuals with their future.
Yes, exactly so right. Yeah, yeah.
This could be a good thing, my brother.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. So they, but it's sad. They'll look at you and see the marks on you in regard to your life.
Yes.
Yeah, there you got taps. Yep. There's marks too, what have you. But they judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
And then they judge by the past history, you know.
Yep.
Or if you're going to talk Bible, you know, who's going to throw the... Yeah, you cannot commit a sin, throw the first stone. You know?
Exactly.
Whatever the case may be. But making an ends meet. So you're up against the two
major parties.
Major parties, you know, Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
Yeah.
You know? So
yes.
In regards to, that's a big mountain to climb.
It is.
And then if not, would you look at talking to the parties in regarding preference or what you want done?
I have.
Yes.
I've spoken to Michael. I will be preferencing Michael. I'd like to see Michael stay here in Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spoken with Yolande about preferences. I put it out there, wanted to have that discussion, but it didn't happen, unfortunately.
All right.
I just want what's best for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it is a tough mountain to climb up against the major parties.
Mm.
You know, they've got $150,000 each to spend on their campaigns.
Mm.
They've got a bunch of volunteers. They've got support behind them. And really what I'm trying to do with my campaign is I've focused it on heavily on using that platform to raise awareness about some of the big issues, you know, housing, crime, but also looking at it from another lens.
Sure.
You know, even housing. I've been homeless. I've lived on the streets.
Yeah.
I've been there. I think we've got a lot of politicians They haven't. They wouldn't know the first thing about, you know, what it's like to do things hard. I actually announced last week I'd be donating my entire paycheck back to the community if I got elected. That's $189,000 a year. And yeah. I think anyone that gets $189,000 a year,
that's not representative. Is, mate.
Well, it's not representative of the community. Yeah, sure. Someone getting $189,000 a year, they don't know what the loaf of bread and milk was yesterday. You know, sure. It's $8.30.
Yeah, thank you. There it is.
Anyone listening, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And they've got investment properties and things like that, adding to our housing crisis. So, you know, I'd like to get in there and change things up. And I hope that people do see that, look, maybe independent might be the go.
Sure.
We've been doing Tweedledee, Tweedledum forever, you know.
Yep.
Maybe it's good. Time for change.
Change is good. Change is the engine of growth, they reckon. So what you're saying to the people out there, come up the voting day, well, have a chat to me, have a talk to me,
yep.
You know what I mean? So, you know, people want to judge, walk a mile in my shoe.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Tell me where I'm coming from. The fact that you come out of prison...
Yep.
And then you went and did a law degree.
Yes.
That shows you're turning the page.
Yes.
And
yep.
You're not.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And it's not easy. You know?
Of course it's not easy. That's right, you know.
But, you know, we're a resilient bunch. You know, I think people that have been, you know, had that adversity, that have come through disadvantaged or been to prison.
Sure.
I think, you know, it can make or break you. And I think for me, I'm very lucky, you know, to be here today. I think it made me. It's made me a better person.
Well, we're talking about taking hats off to people who are changing for the good, you know what I mean? Coming from that side here and studying law.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have went the other way.
Exactly. I could be back in prison.
More
exactly, right.
Whatever, doing some stuff.
Yep.
But now you're helping youth.
Yes.
Who you're doing then the track that they're heading.
Yep.
Tell them where the potholes are.
Yep.
That sort of, and give them a vision.
Yep.
And then with that, your action regarding investing your time and your money to become a lawyer.
Yes.
I mean,
yep.
That just shows you're doing the page. So to the people out there, have a chat to Shane Cuthbert. I mean, you're going to have your vote and what have you. But like you said, Tweedledee, Tweedledum. And he's spoken to Mr. Michael Healy, who's the sitting member at the moment here in Cairns. And given your preference there, so you would know what his push is and regarding all the different facets we're talking about here in life, and you're supporting him. So come and talk to you is what you're saying, my friend.
Yeah, that's it. Come and have a chat.
Have a chat. Well, enjoy that journey, mate, and I believe you're going to go talk to the commercial stations now after talking to the community radio
station.
We've
got a lineup.
We've got a lineup.
Community first, brother.
I love that. Here we are, community radio station, Bummer Bipper Media. Shane, thank you for your yarn. Good luck with it all. Watching closely how it all pans out, and thank you for your time, and thank you for the yarn.
Thanks, Trev. Appreciate it.
Too deadly. So there it is, beautiful yarn there. Shane Cuthbert, his name is, independent candidate for 2024, Queensland Legislative Assembly and Cairns General Election. So there it is, running for the seat of Cairns. And he did mention that he's looking at preferences for Michael Healy, Labor. So, yeah, have a chat to him and talk. And if that's your space, we are talking about youth crime is a big issue, but we're also talking about living you know, the life of what... how we live in life at the moment, as he mentioned, $8.30 for a loaf of bread, and person on a $189,000 income probably wouldn't know that cost. Well, there it is, and he's happy to give up his pay packet if elected and just focus in on helping the people. So there it is, community first. I love that. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here at Bummer Bipper Media for your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, and live your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. Big thank you to NERS. National News Radio Service takes us across the country. All ears here for your yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
I'm a long way away from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. It's a feeling I feel when you're close on the wheel, and I'm missing the touch of your hand. It's no good, this feeling of sorrow. Go out and face it alone. And I'm waiting tonight, watching the night, and I'm thinking
take off your burden delusions. Shake off your dreams that weigh down. You can follow your dreams, but it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you around. You can follow your dreams, but it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you around.
Nyanda banapi bamanda, nyanda bakat nyanda bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM, BBM.
Rolling in, I know you wanna
Yeah, that's Baz. Daz here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here with Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israelite Service. Yeah, state elections 2024 is happening here in Queensland, just around the corner. I had a yarn a couple of days ago with Michael Healy, the a member of Cairns. He's the one that's sitting in the seat at the moment, and he's out there campaigning through his hat in the political arena again to run. I just had a yarn with Shane Cuthbert, who's an independent running for the same seat of Cairns. He did say he'd given his preference to Michael Healy, so there you go. And look, next on the agenda, I have the Greens Party, FNQ Greens candidates, and we're talking for three different areas, Cairns, and that's Josh Holt, and then we also have Troy Miller for Cook, seat of Cook, and Denise Crew for Barron River. So we'll start with Denise. Denise, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Great to see you. Thank you for coming to the party. Now, Denise Crew. Who's Denise Crew?
Okay. Well, I am Denise Crew, and I'm very happy to be saying that I have made the beautiful northern beaches of Cairns my home. Mm-hmm. I've been here for 4 years with my husband, and I'm passionate about maintaining the unique natural beauty of our environment while making space for all the improvements to services and infrastructure that we need.
Well, when we look at the wonders of the world, we've got the Great Barrier Reef, and also next door we've got the rainforest.
Absolutely.
You know, the beautiful rainforest. So we need to respect and nurture and look after this for our great grandchildren.
Correct. You know and I work as a teacher. I'm a business owner, which hopefully I'll explain in a little bit. Mm. But I'm a volunteer. I'm a volunteer educator at Katana Wetlands.
Okay.
And I also work with the Agile Project and dealing with rescued wildlife.
Mm.
And I've been part of the committee to try and bring Taylor Point back into public ownership.
Okay.
So I'm very passionate about the natural environment that we have up here.
And look, loving the hat you wear in regard to the education side of things. You know, when you look at the world we live in, and it's not one size fits all. When we talk about education, they say if Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing he would see the same is the curriculum.
Definitely.
That probably needs to change in that degree.
Definitely.
It's not good for all our kids.
Absolutely.
And you do one-on-one, wouldn't you?
I do. I've found that there are more and more children or young people that are struggling with the mainstream education. There are a lot of parents that are choosing to take their kids out of school, and that's where I pick up the loose ends. So I work with all the children and the young people up right through school who the main system is not working for. So I see them individually, and I try and teach them holistically.
And you're running for the Barron River.
For the Barron River,
and the person sitting there at the moment, Labour member, and that's
Craig Crawford.
Thank you. So you're up against Craig. So need a bit of colour in there, and there's the colour green.
Yes, I'm very green. I love green. I wear green.
I noticed that. Over to Josh Holt, who's running for the seat of Cairns. Josh, very good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming, my friend. So tell the people, who's Josh Holt?
So most recently I've been working in the arts industry. That's been a big part of my life, my whole life, performing arts, artistic and practices. In the past, I've also did a stint with the Navy for a bit and also worked in hospitality and education, so a wide variety of things.
Sure. But you're not acting here. You are true to the bone in regard to throwing your hat in the political arena, running for the seat of Cairns. Like I said, that's no act. So you've got a serious face on there regarding running for this seat of Cairns. And so tell us about your thoughts and what can FNQ Greens bring to the table.
Yeah, so I think a big thing for me for this election was I've seen so many people struggling to keep a roof over their head in Cairns region. And
housing.
Yeah, and I'm really passionate about trying to help people with that. There's so many. Every time we've done a market stall, I've talked to people who, single parents who are struggling to keep a roof over their head, or some people who are now homeless and struggling with that. And I think we can do a bit better with that. Like, this country used to build more things ourselves, and I think we can do a bit more for building housing, government-run housing here.
Well, this is the 21st century, and we are living in a first-world country, but it's sad that we haven't got housing, and well, housing's a problem this day and age, so a lot of work needs to be done there. So you're swinging about there for housing, which we're screaming out for it, aren't we, Josh?
Yeah, totally. And it's just housing affects everything. It affects your health, your mental and physical health.
Of course, necessity.
You know, yeah, there's less.
Gives you a foundation of life, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot more we can do in that space. We want to have like a public developer, so we can have more public housing, and it's specifically targeted to people on the lower incomes. So, because a lot of development is happening now, it's private development, it's like luxury, and it's only like people who can afford the higher end.
Big dollars, yeah.
Of houses, yeah. And so we need to make more housing more of a human right.
Well, if you're talking about a deposit to buy a house, I mean, like, it way out of people's reach, isn't it? So there's got to be some sort of different format, what have you. And people out there who are renting all those, maybe rent to buy, maybe that's an equation. I don't know what it is, but we need to have, heads and beds, bums and seats, what have you, a roof over your head.
Yeah,
like I said, the necessity of life. And we shouldn't be talking like that in the 21st century in a first world country.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we are talking that way.
So that's your push there, all right, fantastic. Over to Troy Miller, who's running for the Cedar Cook, also FNQ Greens. Troy, who's Troy Miller? Yeah, tell us, brother.
Hey, Trendy Trev, I love that name.
You like
mate.
That?
Yeah, there's a lovely shirt you're wearing as well.
Thank you, my brother.
This is my first time on radio, so bear with me, listeners.
Oh, you're doing good, brother.
Thank you.
If that job don't work out in the Greens Party and running for a politician, you'll probably get a job here.
Absolutely, I look forward to it. Cheers, Trev, for having us.
Yeah, good, mate, yes.
I'll take Trendy Troy one day, I think.
Okay, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. Thank you. Yep.
Great bloke I am. Work-wise, paramedic and nurse.
Okay.
Up in Mossman, Port Douglas area.
Rodeo.
I've been doing that for about 5 years. I've worked in TI and Cooktown a little bit. So I've got to see the inequality gaps in healthcare in my everyday work.
I think you're up against Cynthia Louie, who's Labor, who's sitting in the seat at the moment. Yep.
Yeah, okay, that is correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's three other guys as well. I think the Aussie saying of having a fair go is disappearing. I don't see it in my day-to-day work.
Okay.
So much inequality, and I would like to see it that gap close.
Close, yep.
Rheumatic heart disease is a bit of a thing.
Health is a big problem.
A lot, yeah. So probably health for my background. I just see it too much. And as Josh said, housing is a huge determinant on health outcomes and lack of it. And I'm sick of the rich owning a huge portion of housing.
Sure.
While others don't have enough or overcrowding. There's a lot of people in one house.
When you're looking at the riches, 5% of the population is in that degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what about the 95%?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a big part of why I'm sort of doing this. I think we've got so much resources that we dig out over the whole country, and especially Queensland.
Yes.
That money should be shared with others that are doing it tough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's who Troy is, I guess, mate.
That's There's who Troy
more.
Is, yep.
There's plenty more.
Yeah, plenty more. Fantastic. Then you look at health and what's happening in the state of health. I mean, even looking at Cairns-based hospital, they probably need an extension there. There's a hospital up in Mossman.
Yeah,
so
that's had a
paint that picture. There should be a lot more money invested in health and in regard to our hospitals.
I think...
Employment?
Employment, I think... I find prevention, there should be more money in prevention or preventative healthcare.
Sure, yeah.
So people that I see on a day-to-day basis, a lot of their issues come from lack of housing, lack of nutrition, lack of education. I think if we put more money into that area, we're going to see a healthier population who won't need to fill up hospital beds, ambulance ramping, stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. And look, after just coming out of the so-called COVID-19, we were virtually all guinea pigs across the globe with that disease, you know. But I always say you don't have to be sick to get better, but we also need education in the health reasons, you know, and to motivate and inspire people to get their yearly checkups, you know. I mean, we do more servicing for our cars than our bodies, you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
so a lot of work needs to be done in that space. So
I think,
good for you, Batten, for that platform as well. Health, very important.
The GPs as well, more, especially Mossman area, only because I see that often.
Yeah.
People can't get in to see the GP, so we need more GPs, bulk billing GPs, where people can access this healthcare. And it's probably a problem across the Cape.
Sure, as well. Exactly. Yeah. No, especially Indigenous health, we're talking about gaps. We sound like a broken record, but that's one gap that needs to be closed for sure, you know.
Absolutely.
Before I let you go, guys, back to you, Denise. Anything you want to add to the conversation as the candidate for Barron River for the FNQ Greens?
Thank you. I mean, I think for us, all three of us here, one of the key things that we need to do is get more money out of Brisbane and up to the regional areas. And, you know, people need to recognise that we've got Indigenous communities up on the Torres Strait that are still living their old lifestyles, but they're still Australians and they still need the same facilities as the rest of us. The health, the housing, the education.
Exactly. Yep. Well, when we talk about First Nation communities, this is a first world country, but a lot of our people, Indigenous people, are living in third world standards.
Correct.
And that's sad, and this is the 21st century, it's 2024 for sure. Good point there.
And we want to put that right, you know, get some more public money up this way.
Love it. Yep. Money's a tool. Bring it on. Josh, your input there. Last say, mate. Running for the seat of Cairns. Yep. FNQ Greens.
Definitely. I mean, another thing we want to do here is make sure the state schools, public schools are fully funded. At the moment, there's funding gaps in there.
Okay, yes.
And so that's another big important push we want to do to make sure everyone has access to that education. Kids need that to develop properly.
Yeah. Across the board. Exactly. True. Over to you, Troy, last say for the seat of Cook, my friend.
Yeah, I just want to say, Trev, my reasons for doing this are altruistic. I want to see people healthy and happy and enjoying life. Listening, dancing to the mad beats of BBM, which I do occasionally listen to.
That was good. That was good, guys. That was good. Yep.
Great reggae beats on here.
Yeah, there you go.
Keeps my night shifts going.
Yep.
I want to see people enjoying the natural environment of the Cape as well, so I've done a bit of exploring across the Cape. I think it's beautiful.
Beautiful
place
footprint, lovely.
We want to keep it.
The rainforest meets the ocean up in Cape Tribulation and north, you know.
Yeah, it's a stunning place. And I just want to say, I'll be up in the Cape if anyone in the Cape is listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm heading up there tomorrow. I'm going to go to Weipa, Lockhart River, Bamaga. I'll wear my green shirt. If anyone does see me wandering around, I'll give them some fishing.
Yep.
Chatting to mob, whatever's going on.
Good.
Come and say hello, have a chat.
Sure.
I can have the ear of Cynthia sometimes, who is the current, and others, hopefully. So
beautiful. Yeah, there it is.
Come and say hello. Vote one Troy.
All right. Vote one Troy. There is your daily mob there. So there it is in regard to the state election here in Far North Queensland. The candidates running for the FNQ Greens for Cairns. We've got Josh Holt for the seat of Cook, Troy Miller, and the pretty one, Denise True, for Barron River. There you go. Fantastic.
Hey, come on, Trey.
Sorry, brother. Yes, it's a private conversation between Denise and I. But listen, thank you very much for coming. Good luck with it, guys.
Yeah.
And look, enjoy the journey. And look, walk the pavement. Have a talk to the people. That's what it's all about. And help them making decisions.
Like, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you. Thank you. All the best to you. And we'll talk soon, guys.
Yeah.
Cheers, Trey.
Go get them. Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls in green. And that's the FNQ Greens for the up-and-coming 2024 state elections here in Queensland. All ears here for your say. Yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Tell us how you really feel. All ears here. Otherwise, text a brother, 0457140550. And our Facebook page as well. I say big face, sook book, have a yarn there. And that's BBM 987 FM. Yarn up strong here, your daily program, National Talk Black, don't touch that dial. And we've got news coming up very soon as well with NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. Here's some messages and stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black, too deadly.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship aged carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Foster and Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember. Hey love, it's Jessica Malvoy and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong. All right, today we're going to catch up with Double K. We're talking Katie Kiss, who's heads up the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. And look, she's on tour in regarding national listening tour. And we're going to have a yarn with her and talk about the hat she wears and moving forward for our people in the 21st century as Black people, First Nation of this deadly country. And a very good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How are you going?
I'm well.
I'm sitting in Adelaide at the moment.
You're in Adelaide.
I'm doing good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Katie.
So, Trevor, I live in Brisbane at the moment, but I grew up on the lands of the Darrinbal people in Rockhampton. I'm a Kanju Biri Widi woman. So my grandmother's country is Cowan, Central Cape York, Kanju people, and my grandfather's country is Biri Widi country between Collinsville and Nebo in the Bowen Basin. So that's where my people come from, grew up on in Rockhampton, and now live on the lands of the Turrbal and Yuggera people in Brisbane.
Big shout out to all those tribal people. Fantastic. Katie, talk about the hat that you wear with the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission.
Yeah, so on the 3rd of April, Trevor was appointed to the position of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner. Mm-hmm. I work for the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm one of 8 commissioners in there, and we look at a whole range of areas of discrimination. So people might be familiar with the Racial Discrimination Act. Giri Sivaraman is the Race Discrimination Commissioner, for example. So we all work together to combat discrimination in the country and to provide guidance and awareness to the Australian population and the Australian government on what discrimination looks like and how to combat it and to make sure that Australia is compliant with its human rights obligations. My role in particular is a legislated statutory independent position, and my job is to monitor the exercise and enjoyment of human rights by First Nations people and report where that is not happening or where it is happening to government, and make sure that I'm working with our mob to feed that information up.
Well, we're talking about racism. We're talking about stamping it out across the board, whether it be in schools and workplaces, on the sporting field, what have you. But here we are in the 21st century. And look, racism is upon us and it needs to be stamped out. And look, after the so-called referendum, which we didn't get a yes, this would be the next best thing. At least we're having communication from Black people. And then take this information in regard to, well, as we've said, the title here, Informing the Agenda. So you are now on the national listening tour, communicating with our mob. And look, it's open to whoever wants to be in the room, so to speak, but you are concentrating, focusing on talking to First Nation people, yes?
Yeah, Trev. I really wanted to make sure that as I started in my role, I enter the 5-year term that I have with information and the priorities that First Nations people see need to be addressed. So on the back of the voice, where we don't have that mechanism to take those priorities up to government and have them addressed appropriately, I thought this is an opportunity for me to conduct a national listening tour, hear what those priorities are on the back of that referendum going down. Because, you know, things have, the goalposts have shifted again for our mob. So I wanted to make sure that I just had a relook at what those priorities are, put them into some sort of strategy plan going forward for the next 5 years of my term, but making sure that that is informed by our mob and that I've set up those networks appropriately to take that agenda forward as well. And just on your introductory remarks to the Informing the Agenda tour and the effect of racism that's come as a result of the referendum, we know that that's markedly increased. You know, the numbers of calls that have gone through to YARN since the referendum, RA have seen an uptick. You know, people who are working in this space have recorded increases in the experience of racism by First Nations people since the referendum. I just want to give a shout out to my colleague, Giri Sivaraman. He's the Race Discrimination Commissioner, and he's in the process at the moment of formulating the National Anti-Racism Framework. And so he's been also consulting with First Nations people to make sure that their voices are heard in the development of that plan. So, Giri and I work very closely together around that.
Look, fantastic. And we need a vehicle as such, and as you said, Informing the Agenda tour, and you are on the national listening tour in Adelaide at the moment. When did the tour start and how long are you running for, sister?
So we started on the 1st of August, and I put out a call for First Nations people to complete surveys.
Yes.
And then we also put a call out for submissions. So to date, I've had about 721 surveys started by First Nations people. So some didn't complete all of the survey, but we had feedback on 721 people. We had 27 submissions come in from our organisations. And while that doesn't sound like a lot, the content and the information provided by those organisations is just so deadly.
Of course it is.
And really sound content being provided. And then we kicked off the actual listening tour in Canberra last Friday.
Okay.
So in the only jurisdiction to deliver voice. So that was really something positive for us to be thinking about as we kicked off. So we started in Canberra last week and we had a really good yarn down there with the mob who turned up. And then we've moved from Canberra to Ceduna. We did Ceduna early this week, Port Augusta yesterday, and today we're in Adelaide. And so next week, the week after, we're up there with you in Cairns and heading over to Yarrabah.
Yarrabah, beautiful, fantastic. Priority for the next 5 years, that's what we're talking, having yarns with our mob, taking this information and guiding this ship into the future for the next 5 years is your term, five-year term. But it gives meat on the bone. And we're talking about truth-telling here, aren't we, Katie?
We are. And, Trev, I've identified, like, six high-level priorities to help fill you know, the agenda going forward as we go around the country.
Yes.
Truth-telling is one of those. But I see, you know, a lot of issues with access to justice. And where we think about justice, the only conversation we're hearing is from a deficit perspective of incarceration. And our people sitting in jail and in detention centres and laws that are being created to our detriment rather than to our benefit in terms of accessing justice. So I see that as an overarching priority area.
Yes.
I want to look at the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which has now been adopted for 15 years by the Australian government and hasn't had any plan or focus around implementation. I want to look at the three pillars of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, truth, treaty and voice, and make sure that, you know, we are guiding our conversations by making sure that our people are engaged in those conversations, informing those agendas and taking them forward. And that includes a focus on truth-telling. It needs to be creating an understanding amongst Australians, because I think that was something that was really exposed in the referendum, that general Australians don't have an understanding of the history of this country or the impact on First Nations people. So when we're hearing conversations about the blackfellas get everything and, oh, this is more rights for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, they don't actually understand that we don't even have our basic human rights recognised at the moment. We can't even access basics.
Exactly.
So that's a key focus for me. And then, you know, we have mechanisms in place like the Closing the Gap Agreement that need those solid principle-based approaches underpinning them and reinforcing them as we go forward, as well as our land rights, and also making sure that we are healing from the destruction that's been caused amongst our people. So rebuilding our villages, putting our people back together and creating that care society that we once had very strongly that's underpinned by our cultural values.
Well, exactly. And when we talk about we are the first people, I mean, we're talking 60,000 years. And we're talking about here we are in the 21st century and things don't change if things don't change. And it's the same same old. And we're talking about closing the gap. We sound like a broken record. But, Katie, it is what it is. And as you know, the big island, here we are, Australia, Australians embrace this culture. It is your culture, you know what I mean? But it's about, like, having the yarns, having the stories, and educating a vehicle that educates, but also, well, empowers our people as well. But the conversations need to be had, Katie.
Yes, I agree, Trevor, and I think it's about, you know, where the referendum promoted that the voice would result in disunity. Well, it has resulted in disunity.
Yes.
But that's because the voice isn't there and First Nations people aren't part of the conversation, and that continues to this day. We've been in this cycle for more than 200 years. Mm. It does need to change. Like you said, if things don't change, things don't change.
Mm.
We've been doing the same thing for 200 years. We've been badging things differently but doing the same approach for more than 200 years, you know. They used to take our children off our old people and put them in reserves and missions. That's just changed now to the child safety system. So our children are still being taken from us. They're being put in detention centres.
21st century stolen generation, you could say.
That's right, that's right. And it's completely unacceptable that we have two young people who have taken their lives in youth detention centres under the care of the state, and we have had a 10-year-old child take their life in the care and protection of the state in out-of-home care. Mm. It is completely unacceptable in the 21st century that we have the suicide rates that we do, the incarceration rates that we do, the disadvantage and disempowerment that we do, and Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people have human rights. We're entitled to exercise and enjoy those rights, and my job is to try to help make sure that that is being able to be realised.
To our Deadly listeners tuned in, this is our Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry with your Deadly program, National Talk Black, having a Deadly Yarn with the Commissioner, Katie Kiss, from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. She's on tour in regard to National Listening Tour, informing the agenda tour. Katie, with this information, as people come to the table with you and your team, as you arrive in different townships and cities and what have you, can people come online and talk to you as well? Or can they put their stories forward that way?
We'll be sending out the survey again as part of the listening tour, because I think once people have come and sat at the table and they go back and think about conversations we're having, their survey submissions will be much more detailed and informed. So we'll send that survey back out.
Yes.
In the particular locations where we're going, they are face-to-face consultation and engagement. Okay. People can either come to that session or later on in the piece, as we get further into the listening tour, we will set up some online webinars consultation possibilities online. So people might be able to join those later on down the track if they haven't been able to attend one of the local community events.
Lovely. And you've got a Facebook page or a web page where people can see where the tours are and how can see the
information will be shared on both the Australian Human Rights Commission website and also the Facebook social and the LinkedIn social pages for the Australian Human Rights Commission. I also have a LinkedIn page, Katie Kiss, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner. Cool. So if you get onto those pages, we're sharing information out. So keep an eye out for those social media announcements on when we're coming into your location.
Lovely.
I apologise that for some, the information has come out very late in the piece. We hit the ground running, literally.
Okay.
One of your mob from up there, Shiloh Villaflor, has joined my team, and so she's only been in the role for 3 weeks.
Good
but she's
hit
the ground running to try and get us on the road. So we're out and about, but as we hit the ground a little bit more solidly, people will get much more notice as to where we're coming to, and hopefully we'll be able to fill those seats in those rooms because it's really important to hear people's voices.
Okay, we're talking listening, National Listening Tour, a survey. We're talking yarning as well, so very important. So my sister, you're going to be living in our suitcases for the next couple of months, but enjoy that journey. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, love to be yarning with you once you get to Cairns and also catching up with you at Yarrabah as well. Be deadly, sis.
Thank you, my bella.
Well, all the best, and thank you very much. Big shout-out to your team. Scored well having Shiloh on board. And we will yarn soon, Commissioner. And you keep smiling. You take care. And we'll yarn soon, Katie.
Thanks for having me on the show, and see you mob soon.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Katie Kiss, Commissioner, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. She's on a five-year term, and she's on tour, a national listening tour in regard to the survey, and informing the agenda tour is what it's called as well, in Adelaide at the moment, and started in Canberra on the 1st of October. So out and about. So a yarn priority for the next 5 years. So we're talking treaty, we're talking voice, we're talking face-to-face. Have your say, yarn up strong. Tell us how you really feel. Tell us your thoughts, your process in regard to the future and where we sit as First Nation people of this country leading into the future. I mean, what does their future look like? And governments and non-Indigenous Australians need to hear what we got to say. So very important. We didn't have a win in the referendum. That would have been a good vehicle in regard to communication and guiding government in regards to our people heading in the future. That didn't come about. So, look, we used whatever vehicle we got, and now we got the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner Commission with the Commissioner, Katie Kiss. So there it is, your mob. Have your say and yarn up strong. And you can do the same as well here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob. Too deadly.